We've been going through a verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, and tonight, in this passage of Scripture we'll be in the matter of some, 17 verses or so, there are five major doctrines being taught, five major doctrines of the faith. And we're going to look at one doctrine tonight, one that is very, very important, and it is one of the most grand doctrines that we have. But I have found in this area, and I don't say it's exclusive to this area, but in this kind of region, there are many denominations that do not believe in this, in eternal security. And I'm going to just stick with what the Bible says about eternal security. And I want to show you the case tonight from the Scriptures, from the Lord Jesus Christ, from His mouth, what He says about eternal life. And the title of the message is, Shall Never Perish. Shall Never Perish. Shall Never Perish was a book, a great book. If you ever get your hands on it, it's out of print now. It was by Strombeck. Strombeck was not a preacher. He was a layman in a church. But he wrote this book. My background, I do not come from Independent Fundamental Baptist. I come, and that's maybe why I'm sometimes somewhat of a fighter. I came from a United Baptist background. And United Baptist background is different than Independent Fundamental Baptist background. And extremely, extremely, extremely different. Excuse me. But it was through an acquaintance of my pastor I grew up under, Pastor Irby, and my dad met in Bible college, at Tri-State Bible College. And there was a man there who was a teacher, Leonard Urich. Many of you all know Leonard Urich, and he was a real teacher now. He pastored Calvary some. But Leonard would take my dad, knowing that my dad did not believe in eternal security, and in class he was very hard on my dad, and he would say, Brother Estep, give me scripture to prove you can lose your salvation. Well, as a result of that, my dad came to believe in eternal security because he just looked at the scripture. He put out what tradition, what man had taught him. He put all of this out of his mind, and he looked at, Thus saith the Word of God. And so... That in itself is a blessing, and I know that some people don't hold in regard the Tri-State Bible College as I do, but Tri-State Bible College has been instrumental in my life, and I praise God. My dad said before we left the United Baptist as a kid, they went through 22 services. My dad counted 22 services where no word was preached. They just sang and testified, and they talked about how spiritual the church services were. How spiritual the church services were, and all they did was sing and testify, take up an offering, and go home. 22 services. 22 services. You know, the Bible tells us it's the foolishness of preaching that God uses to save men and women. The foolishness of preaching. So preaching, Jesus established that preaching is important, and we're going to look at what He is preaching about eternal security tonight. Read with me in John chapter 10 and verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, notice the reaction of the people. The same reaction I get sometimes today. Not that they're going to stone me, but they get mad. Nobody says they're going to stone me, but they get mad when they find out that I've been called a heretic because of believing in eternal security. We had, when Matt Mayhew was coming to our church, there was a lady in the bank told him, is that the church you go to? Is that the church that Chester Barber attends? And Matt said, yeah, I think so. And she said, well, that church down there, they believe in once in grace, always in grace. And Matt said, yes. And, you know, what's wrong with that? And then she proceeded to tell how we were preaching a damnable doctrine. They took up stones again to stone him. 32, Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said ye are gods'? If he called them gods," with a little g, "unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." Therefore, they sought again to take him out, but he escaped out of their hand. Father, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, and we ask you, Lord, for your presence to be revealed. Lord, we know you're omnipresent, you're everywhere. But many times we don't recognize your presence. So I pray tonight that every heart, that every mind would be in tune with you, with your spirit. I pray that we would recognize your presence in this place and that we would reverence your presence. I pray that we would focus on you and you alone, what you have done for us and how you have set us free. Lord, we praise you tonight. We love you. God, I stand here tonight and I need you. I cannot preach without you. I need your strength. I need your power. I need you to speak through me. For without you, I can do nothing. I surrender myself to you, Lord. I pray that I would not meddle in the flesh, that I would not just focus solely on what you want me to say, God, and may you be glorified. Lord, we ask you to accept our worship. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. Eternal security is one of the most glorious promises our Savior has ever given to us. I can think of no promise on this earth that is grander than you and I shall never perish. Never perish. Now, there are some objections to eternal security, and I just want to cover three quickly tonight. Three objections that many people give. First of all, they say, you believe you can live any way you want to live and claim to be saved. Well, fact is, I've never met a born-again Christian that's ever said that. All right? I've never taught that. I've never preached that, nor do I believe that. I believe that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a new creation created in Christ Jesus. You're not, God doesn't take the old and spruce you up. He doesn't take the old and clean you up. He makes you a new person created in Christ Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you can't claim to live any way you want to live and be saved. Why? Because you've got a new master. Being free means that you are free from the penalty of sin. But you got a new master. You serve the Lord Christ Jesus. No one that I have ever met that was genuinely saved, has ever had that attitude. This is always a hypothetical argument offered by those who don't believe in eternal security. Always. So number one objection is you believe you can live any way you want and claim to be saved. Number two. Some people say, well, one can change his mind about Jesus and no longer believe. Well, I have to say that if you are genuinely born again, you can't change your mind. That's right. Why can't you change your mind? Well, to believe means to be convinced. You cannot be unconvinced. It's not possible to be unconvinced. If you're convinced of something, you're convinced. Believe means you are convinced. When you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that means you are convinced He'll save you. That's what that means. That's what that means. There are no doubt there are people in an emotional moment who have responded to an invitation, they prayed a prayer, and they've not been saved. Matter of fact, the Bible says this, that there are some who came up among us, but they were not of us, because they went out to prove or to reveal that they were not of us, but that they were of the world. So don't be surprised. Not everyone sitting in a church is saved. Not everyone that goes to an automobile repair shop is a mechanic, right? Just because you go to a tire shop doesn't mean you're a tire repairman. Just because you go to a bakery doesn't you may not be able to bake. My point is this. If you are genuinely born again, you're changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, the Bible says. So when you're genuinely born again, you're a new person. You're a new person. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Now, there are people who probably claim to be saved that are not saved. You and I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I can't look at you and tell you whether you're saved, nor can you look at me and tell me whether I'm saved. That's between an individual and God. Only He knows who's saved. Only He knows who's saved. Let me tell you, church, listen to me when I say this. Don't buy into the argument that someone says, well, I believed in all this Jesus stuff and now I don't believe. No one's ever, it can't be that way. Now, there are some people who will stand in a church, they'll sing the songs, they'll give to the offering, they'll even serve. I've actually heard of teachers, Sunday school teachers. I've actually heard of preachers who have been saved after they were preachers. So that's not an objection to one who's truly been born again. And then there's this always objection I hear a lot, but it's what we've always been taught. It's what we've always been taught. This is our tradition. My grandfather believed in it. My dad believed in it. Now I believe in that you can lose your salvation. And it's almost like if you say that well, I'm sorry, but they might have been wrong, that you're insulting them. Now, I'm not going out trying to change anybody's mind. I'm just going to preach the word and let the chips fall where they may. God's in the changing of mind and heart business. I'm just delivering the message. But what I'm telling you is that the Bible warns us of following the traditions of men. It warns us of following after the rudiments of the world. Now, with that being said, what are some of the reasons why we should believe in eternal security? Two quickly tonight right here. There are two main reasons. In verses 25 through 28, we should believe in eternal security, number one, because salvation is the work of God, not of man. Salvation is the work of God, not of man. Your salvation is not up to you. The only thing you do to have salvation is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, 96 times the word believe is found. 96 times. For whosoever believeth in the Lord shall be saved. Bottom line. Sirs, what must I do? Paul was asked the question point blank. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, salvation was initiated by God. It was God's idea to redeem man, not man's idea to restore his relationship with God. Given the chance, it started in the garden, and everyone followed after Adam. Given the chance, every time man would choose his own way rather than choosing God. Every time. God initiated salvation. God gives it to you. You and I can only accept it. Philippians 1:6 tells us that he that began a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means, don't you? Until you see him face to face, he will complete that work he began in you, and that work is salvation. Salvation is in the past tense, it's in the present tense, and it's in the future tense. When you study the Greek and you find out what salvation means, it means you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. That's what salvation means. It means that He is going to save you. Salvation is God's idea, not man's. Man did not come up with this idea. You can do nothing to earn your salvation. Case in point, the rich young ruler comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and asks Him what he can do to inherit eternal life. What did he tell him? Sell everything you've got, give it to the poor and follow me. What did he say? He went away sad. Why? He had great possessions. He had great possessions. He thought that he, with his wealth, could buy his way into heaven. Can't do it. Fact is, I'll tell you this, you can't work. You can't be good enough. You cannot be good enough. Because listen to me, church, how many times if you tell a lie, how many times lying does it take for you to become a liar? You tell one lie, you're a liar. Now, has anybody here never told a lie? Nobody's audacious enough to raise their hand on that one. Why? Because you'd be lying right now. That would nullify that thing, wouldn't it? That'd take care of that right there. I guarantee you that if we would go through the Ten Commandments, we can find many of the commandments we have broken. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yet people idolize sports figures. They idolize possessions. They idolize money. What I'm trying to say is there's never been a person on this earth that's lived the Christian life except for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they crucified Him. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. There are no passages in the Bible that say you can earn your salvation. However, there are passages in the Bible that say you cannot earn your salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, if you could save yourself, you'd run around telling everybody, I saved myself. And you would boast of it. But it's a work of God. God initiated salvation. And because salvation is the work of God and not of man, that's why we can't lose our salvation. We did nothing to earn our salvation, and we can certainly do nothing to keep our salvation. Look with me in verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now notice what he says. And I give unto them eternal life. It's the gift of God. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Now I don't want to be smug, but how long is eternal? What don't we get about that? If eternal's forever, couldn't we stop there and say, okay, I understand. The only life you'll find that Jesus gives is eternal life. That's the only life he gives. It's the only life he gives. And he goes on to say, and they shall never perish. Now, what's it mean to never perish? Does that mean, well, never perish, but maybe someday you will because you changed your mind? Now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or anything, but what I'm saying is, clearly from the mouth of Jesus, he is teaching that, number one, we have eternal life. Number two, because we have eternal life, we shall never perish. And then he goes on to say, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, I want you to look at this. Take, for instance, this piece of paper. This piece of paper here is you, or me, or us, however you want to say it, okay? This piece of paper is you. Jesus says, you are in my hand. You're in my hand, and no one can pluck you out of my hand. No one can pluck you out of my hand. No one has ever had power over Jesus. Jesus said, I lay down my life. You didn't take my life, but I lay it down. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to pick it up. You can't take it. Nobody's as powerful as Jesus, but you're in Jesus' hand. Then he says in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So here it is. You're in Jesus' hand, and you and Jesus are in the Father's hand, and I guarantee you there's nobody great enough to take him out of either hand. You're in Jesus' hand, Jesus in the Father's hand. Now notice what else he says. I and my Father are one. Well, you talk about double security. If you can get through Jesus and the Father, then you can convince me that you can lose your salvation. But you can't get through Jesus and you can't get through the Father. And no one can take you out of the Father's hand. And that includes you. You are a man. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Salvation is the work of God, not of man. Now let me say this. Number two reason why I believe in eternal security. Salvation is secured by God, not by man. Salvation is secured by God. In other words, my assurance of my salvation doesn't come from me. How many of you have been saved? And after you were saved, at one time or another, you doubted your salvation. Every hand probably in this room ought to go up because everyone at one time or another has doubted his or her salvation. But I turn over to 1 John, and I read what 1 John 5:13 tells us. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe? How many of you here say, I believe? I believe. Okay. These things have I written unto you that believe. So he's talking to believers, right? He's talking to us. We believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know. What's it mean, know? To know? Gnosis. What's it mean to know? It means you absolutely know it. You don't think, you don't hope, you don't speculate. Let's say, what would it say if to you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may hope that you have eternal life? Well, that would change it dramatically, wouldn't it? But it doesn't say hope, it says know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. What's he saying there? The Apostle John, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote this, what? That we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have eternal life. But knowing is not dependent upon us and our doing good things. Why? Because how many of us have fallen? How many of you here have sinned since you've been saved? We all have, haven't we? Matter of fact, he says in the same epistle, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. That's God. I mean, I'm just telling you what he says. If we say that we have no sin, then we're a liar. We're a liar. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this. If in fact one sin will cause us to lose our salvation, which sin is it? Which sin is it? Sin is despicable in God's eyes. It doesn't matter what sin it is. Adultery is equal to homosexuality. Lying is as equal to murder in God's eyes. It's all sin. Now, the recompense or the repercussions are different. The severity is different. But nonetheless, sin in God's eyes is despicable. What sin did Jesus die for on the cross? Jesus died for every sin. And he died once for all. Oh, brother, believe it. Isn't that what the hymnist said? Oh, brother, believe it. Once for all. You see, you and I did nothing to earn our salvation, and we can do nothing to keep our salvation. Why? Because God has secured our salvation. He is the one that keeps us and protects us. We are in Jesus' hand, and He is in the Father's hand, and there's no one that's able to pluck us out of His hand. Out of His hand. If we could lose our salvation, church, we probably would. Because I hate to tell you, you're not as good as you think you are. And I'm not as good as I think I am. I'm not as good as I think I am. And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck tonight. I'm just trying to preach the word. What I'm trying to say is this. Listen, salvation, our salvation doesn't rest on our being good because we all stumble, don't we? We all fall, don't we? But you know what? 1 John 1:9 says that if I confess my sins, He is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Do you understand that? I'm not faithful and just. He's the one that's faithful and just. I'm not the one that can cleanse myself. He's the one that cleanses me. Now when I stand and I sing victory in Jesus, I sing it with a new love for Jesus. I sing it with a renewed passion. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Now think about it. Here in a few minutes, we're going to come around and partake of the Lord's Supper. And what a night to think about eternal security. What a night to say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Now, how do some respond? I got to talk quickly here. How do some respond? Well, number one, some responded in unbelief. Now, in the passage we're talking about, most particularly, Jesus was revealing His deity. He was revealing His deity to these men, and they didn't believe Him. They said, tell us who you are plainly. And Jesus said, I've told you. I've told you over and over again. We're 10 chapters into John, and I've told you repeatedly, yet you believe me not. You ever tell your child to do something? I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you. Yes. Some respond in unbelief in verses 31 to 39. They took up stones, and they wanted to stone Him. Why did they want to stone Him? Because it went against what they wanted to believe. It went against their organized religion. It went against their traditions. It went against everything that they had bet their lives on. That's the same thing with eternal security. Many people say, well, listen, and I'll have to tell you this. And again, I'm not being smart. But I want to start, and I'm going to start saying this. If they're going to come at me, I'm going to defend myself and defend the Bible position. I'm going to quit tippy-toeing around people. Amen. If you come at me and you say, listen, and you say, now, preacher, I'm going to tell you something here. You believe that you can't lose your salvation, and you believe you can live any way you want to believe or live any way you want to live, and you can do all these things. You can do all these things. How do you know that you can't lose your salvation? You know, I'm going to say, you prove to me how I can lose my salvation, and then we'll talk. I've been taught, people have come to me, and they say, man, I can't believe you believe that. I can't believe you believe that. I can't believe you teach that. There have been people that have come to this church since I've been here pastoring, And I'm open about it. We believe in eternal security. We teach and preach that when one is genuinely born again, he's saved forever. She's saved forever. And we've had people leave. I don't want that. I love people and I hate to see them go. But I cannot change my convictions about the eternal Word of God to suit people to get them to join our church. Jesus never did that. Jesus was bold in His proclamation. He stood before them. And even though it angered them, some still responded in unbelief. I've had people tell me, well, I know what you say and I know what the Bible says, but you can't convince me. Well, listen, it's not up to me to convince you. But if you come at me, I'm going to bring it back to you. We'll bring it back to you. See, this matter, I've had people that really want to make themselves look good. They want to make themselves look good. And they'll, what happens is, these people that don't believe in eternal security, everyone else but them are going to hell. You ever notice that? They're going to hell. And I'm not afraid to say it. And if it offends you, I'm sorry. But I'm not afraid to say it. If it's on television, so be it. If the Church of Christ can come by here and put a brochure in our door and say Baptists are going to hell and this is the reason why, and not be man enough to come face and face and debate it, well, that's kind of chicken if you ask me. And they believe that everybody else is going to hell but them because you're not being baptized. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But Jesus in another passage said he never baptized anyone. So if he came to seek and save the lost and he never baptized anyone when he was here, ooh, wouldn't that contradict why he came? My point is this, church. My point is this. I'm not saying that we're better than anybody else because we're not. We're all sinners. All I'm saying is that I'm going to believe the promise of Jesus and that I'm in His hands and that no one can take me out of His hands. Some respond in unbelief. Now some respond in belief. Some will respond in belief, as I have and as many of you have. There are some who have chosen to believe Jesus in this matter. There are some who have said, Jesus, I believe you. I believe you died for me. You are the one that paid the price for me. You're the one that secured my salvation. You're the one that keeps me saved. Only two responses, one of two responses. You can either not believe Jesus or you can believe Him. And I think it's abundantly clear, and we don't have time to go into all the other passages, but I think that if we just even look at this one passage alone, it is enough evidence to prove that we have eternal security. Now listen, I don't know if you're saved. If you're saved, genuinely born again, according to the Scriptures, you have eternal life and you shall never perish. Now, if you're clinging to some little prayer you said, or you're clinging to some little certificate someone gave you, then that's between you and God. But if you genuinely have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're born again, and you have eternal life. Eternal means forever, shall never perish. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. If you believe that you're going to live perfect on this earth, you're mistaken. Because there is none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. When God looks at us out of the portals of heaven, those of us that are born again, He doesn't see you and He doesn't see me in our own works, but He sees us through the lens of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the precious blood of Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness in Him. Did you get that? We exchanged our filthiness for His righteousness. You can choose to believe God and His Word today and have the assurance, in fact, He will save you when you die, or you can continue to worry about it and fret and be distraught about it. I don't want to be one of those who disbelieves or refuses to believe the promises of the Savior. I am believing Him. You think of it this way. You can believe God or man. Who are you going to believe? Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here this evening and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't know that you have that security. If you were to die,